Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, if you haven't already heard it, one of the absolutely scariest things you're going to hear ever is that the future of this republic has four Supreme Court justices that apparently thought Obama had the power to simply arbitrarily write immigration rules. We're going to get into this. It's Doug Urbanski. Michael Savage, who's a friend of mine, is out today. He'll be back tomorrow, I am told. The phone number here, just to get the housekeeping out of the way, is 1-855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. You can go also to the Savage Nation website, michaelsavage.com. That's one word, Michael Savage, for the latest headlines. And also, Michael has a new book out there, Teddy and Me. So also go to Michael's Twitter page, Michael Twitter at Savage Nation, and also vote for Michael into the National Radio Hall of Fame. Text Savage to 36500. Now, if you haven't already heard this, the Supreme Court has come in today with a couple of dramatic rulings. The first one is that they have ruled that profiling is a good thing, meaning that they've ruled that you can use race as a factor in university admission. You can't profile in any other commonsensical manner of thinking, but as far as going to university, they have decided that they will legislate the concept that diversity is a good thing for the country. I don't know where they get this from. One of the justices recused herself. That would be Justice Kagan. She did not participate in this particular decision because she had already been involved soliciting this case when she was Solicitor General. Also, the Obama administration has had, well, his immigration plan has been blocked. You're seeing this reported that it has been blocked by a 4-4 tie at the Supreme Court. None of the reporting you're going to see about this is entirely accurate or true. It's all designed to mislead you in one way or another. So you have four Supreme Court justices. They apparently thought that Obama had the power to sign executive orders to change existing constitutional law. Now, that's a scary thought. No matter how you feel about Donald Trump, generally speaking, the vacancy on the Supreme Court alone is reason to vote for him. And there's a lot of people saying, well, Obama was denied. Obama himself is out there. He says, if you keep blocking the judges, the court can't issue decisions. My dear friends, it has issued a decision. What he meant to say is if you keep blocking judges, they can't issue the decisions I want. So the Supreme Court split 4-4 today over a challenge to Obama's immigration policy. And this result prevents his administration from putting the program that he signed into effect during the rest of his term, his hopefully quickly diminishing term. This was announced way back in 2014. And the whole idea of it was that it was going to shield more than 4 million people from deportation. However, the lower courts blocked its implementation because Texas and 25 other states sued, claiming that the president had no power to do this. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you don't think that the future of this republic does or doesn't hang in the balance of the next election, you realize that you are one justice away from radically altering the country, which is, of course, what the left wants. This is being played out all over the world. The main topic playing itself out all over the world, in fact, is immigration. Today, we'll be talking about what's going on in England, not to bore you, because you need to know about it. Immigration is the topic. Globalists versus the immigration and refugee gang is the topic. So, the Supreme Court has this tie. It's being reported out there in the mainstream media as the deadlocked Supreme Court blocks Obama. They have done nothing of the sort. They're not deadlocked and they're not blocked. In fact, I don't know how many of you know this or not. There's this big lie that the Democrats put out there when Obama nominated someone to replace Justice Alito. Scalia, when he died. And the lie was that they had a constitutional duty to replace the spot, the vacancy. There is no such thing. There is no constitutional duty to replace a departing justice, no matter how he departed. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, and they went on and on, mad at the Republicans, angry at the Republicans, they're blocking us, they have an obligation. It's a dereliction of our constitutional duty. We can't walk away from constitutional responsibility. The language of the Constitution requires us to do this. No such thing exists. It doesn't exist any place. The fact of the matter is that, and this has been studied and looked at and talked about and written about, the fact of the matter is, hey, there is no constitutional responsibility to do this. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the courts are created, their budgets are created, they're created and controlled by Congress. Congress will regulate them. When the Senate is controlled by an opposition party, particularly when vacancies occur, with nearly a year left in a presidential term, they don't always replace somebody. Politics is always, always, always playing a role in the Supreme Court. The Senate sets the rules at once. 200 years ago, the Senate made clear it was not required to act on a Supreme Court nomination. 200 years ago. And so when you've got a divided government, which is a good thing, especially when there are elections looming, the Senate has chosen typically not to act. So they use procedures that are based upon the political circumstances each time this comes up. The Senate majority can do, in effect, whatever it wants. And the only thing that will change that is when it becomes politically uncomfortable for them. So the Democrats who are out there, they don't merely suggest otherwise, they lie about it. They tell you otherwise. So did you know, I'd be fascinated to know what you folks think about this at 1-855-400-7282 on the Savage Nation. What do you do when there's a 4-4 tie? It's very simple. The Founding Fathers dealt with this. The decision by the lower court is upheld. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the Founding Fathers created a court that also had an even number of justices? Their court had six. The most important case in the court's 226-year history was decided by a six-justice court. George Washington signed the Judiciary Act. That law determined that the number of Supreme Court justices should be six, an even number. The Congress of that day was very full of men. They had all been there at Independence Hall when the Declaration was being signed, when the Constitution was being written. They knew. Many of these men helped write the Constitution, so they knew. We can assume that they had an idea and they knew what they were doing. So when you had a six-justice court, think of this, an even-number court, the very thing Obama is complaining about, that they hate the Constitution. Can we just say that amongst other things? They hate so much of it. You saw what happened in Congress yesterday, these riots, this nonsense. But when there's a six-justice court, a 3-3 opinion meant that the court could not overturn a lower federal court ruling, and instead it would stand. Which is all that happened yesterday. The Supreme Court does this very often. Even when there are odd numbers, they let a lower court ruling stand. Not a new thing. The effect of a six-person court, by the way, was that it took two-thirds of the court, meaning a 4-2 vote, to declare something unconstitutional. So with a 9-person court, you had these 4-5 rulings that are commonplace. So in modern times, you know, the trajectory of this nation is changed repeatedly by personal whims of people like Justice Roberts, let's say, or Anthony Kennedy, or even Sandra Day O'Connor. An even-numbered court, please listen to me, an even-numbered court seems to be, and we have the evidence of it today, it seems to be more conducive to judicial restraint. I'll say it again. An even-numbered court seems to be more conducive to judicial restraint. And the only time that was changed, they added a seventh justice, not because they wanted to have an odd number. They did it because they needed an extra justice because there was an increase of business and population in the western part of the country, Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, and the necessity to bring into the court some lawyer versed in the laws of those states was very important. So even when they did that in 1807, they did not have in their idea, oh my goodness, we need an odd number court. So here we are, we've returned to an even number of justices. For this year, maybe it would be fascinating, wouldn't it, if we decided to keep it for every year because of the amount of judicial restraint that is inherent when you have an even number of justices. I love it. So with an even number of justices, if you overturn something, it means that you're going to really have to have a majority. Now, let me tell you, we have these four loons on there who come out here and they tell us that Obama's immigration plan can be blocked, can't be blocked. You have four justices who are speaking in violation of the law. Scary, scary stuff. The reality is that if you're that close, it means once again, the Supreme Court is on the ballot. It also means something else. I've been saying this for maybe 8 or 9 months. The Urbanski rule is very simply this. That everything that happens has a consequence. And the consequence in the past 9 months is everything that happens, as I mentioned earlier, helps Donald Trump. Because immigration is again thrust back into the headline. And people are very interested in it. And they're very interested in it over in Europe as well. All of Europe. The entire European Union is watching what's going to happen today. We won't have results, I don't think, by the time this show is done today. But we will, they're all watching to see what's going to happen in England. I just got back from England. I'll tell you a story that I had dinner with a titan of industry there recently. I'll tell you what their own view over there about the Brexit was. Anyway, Obama came out, I'm going to have to go to a break in a moment, but Obama came out complaining about the idea that that if you keep blocking judges, the courts can't issue decisions. They have issued a decision. He was, a minor tantrum. He said the Supreme Court wasn't able to issue a decision today. They did issue a decision. Dick Durbin came out from Illinois. He said the 4-4 decision is clear evidence we need 9 justices on the court. My friends, it's clear evidence of the opposite. We do not need them. Hillary Clinton, she came out and she had backed the president's executive orders, by the way. She said she would go even further to use her executive power to change immigration policy. She says today's deadlocked decision, it wasn't deadlocked other than in numbers. Remember, it upheld a lower court. Today's deadlocked decision from the Supreme Court is unacceptable. She said it shows us all just how high the stakes are in this election. Well, it does. It surely does. I'll tell you more about what Trump and others had to say about this. Let me do some housekeeping. It's 1-855-400-SAVAGE, 1-855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. I'm Doug Urbanski. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage. I mentioned he'll be back tomorrow. Go again to michaelsavage.com. That's one word for the latest headlines. You can subscribe to the Savage newsletter. Michael's new book, Teddy and Me, is available now. You can check out the latest from Dr. Savage on his Facebook page or on Twitter at Savage Nation. And here's the thing. You got to vote into the National Radio Hall of Fame because Michael belongs there. I have to tell you after the break how I first came upon this show, how I ended up filling in for the show starting in 2005, and then how we became friends. But you got to vote for Michael in the National Radio Hall of Fame. You got to text SAVAGE to 36500. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Doug Urbanski filling in for Dr. Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Tarbaski's rule, as I'm sitting here filling in for my friend Dr. Michael Savage, and he is a friend of mine, Urbanski's rule has been, for about 9 months or so now, anything that happens ultimately helps Trump, just as these Supreme Court rulings have done today. You know, obviously all of you listening are aware that that Donald Trump has promised to build this massive wall at the southern border of the United States. One of the things that we never, ever, ever discuss in this Mexico-America relationship situation, also known as the immigration situation, also known as the how do we create more Democrat voters situation, because ultimately that's all what it's about. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, California may be lost. The Electoral College has taken over California mostly because of immigration. And there are other factors about liberalism that have destroyed my beautiful state. They want to do it to Texas, too. They're slobbering over the idea that they can flip Texas into an electoral state that votes Democratic. But one of the things that always mystifies me as to why it's not discussed, and I know Mexican people, and I have really good friends who are Mexican. Mexican people are marvelous people. It is a country, as Dr. Savage has told you many times, rich in natural resources. Why is it that when America decides to do nation building, apart from the fact that we usually screw it up, it's always done in some place that where it won't work, it's a trillion miles away, and they will never have our beliefs. What is it that we can do? Because you won't need a wall if this happens. These poor Mexican people risk their lives, they risk dying of thirst and starvation in the desert as they walk. You know how horrible that must be? How horrible it is. They want to get out of their country. What is it that we can do really to help clean up Mexico, to make it a place not only where the people desire to stay, but where people from around the world want to go to? They've got it all down there. It's one of the perversions that is not discussed, because you can't really you can't bring this up, and yet we want Mexico to be great for Mexicans. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You build a wall, but you also want to make sure that their country is a wonderful country for them. Back to some of these Supreme Court rulings and what's going on in England, because immigration is the topic every place you look.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Dr. Michael Savage here on his show, The Savage Nation, and the topic of the day all around the world apparently is immigration, immigration, immigration. If you do or you don't know about the Brexit vote going on in England today, I won't bore you about it. I will explain to you what's happening there and how it is significant and representative of things that may happen here. The phone number here is 1-855-400-7282. It's The Savage Nation. I'm Doug Urbanski. You may have met me before filling in here or elsewhere, but I'm so delighted to be back. Michael Savage, let me interrupt myself. I'm a great personal interrupter, as everyone knows. Michael and I have been friends now, I think, for 10, maybe 11 years. I think we met 2005. I started filling in on this show 2006. Did many, many fill-ins for Dr. Savage when he was away for this reason or that reason. Went on, produced my other motion pictures. There may be some of you out there who are following the plot a little too closely and you know all this stuff. Michael was one of the people that when I came into the world of, and you know, radio people are very concerned when other people come in from outside and do radio shows. Michael Savage was not one of, he was the most supportive friend from the very beginning. And I don't want to tell you too much, but I mean, there is nobody smarter and funnier when he joins your dinner table, or if he calls you at 8:30 in the morning. I know I'll be falling out of my chair laughing at something. Great, great with there. Anyway, Michael Savage, the website is michaelsavage.com, one word. The book, his new book, by the way, is Teddy and Me. It's available now. And the most important thing is that I hope you do this. I want you to go vote Savage. I want you to vote Michael Savage into the National Radio Hall of Fame. And you do that by texting Savage to 36500. And lest any of you think that this is this part of the show where the guest host just sucks up to the real guy. I don't do that, and I don't have any reason to do that, because we're pals anyway, and believe me, being here with you is a pleasure regardless. Okay, immigration is the big topic every place we look. As you know, a three-judge panel from a federal appeals court in New Orleans said in a split decision that the Obama administration lacked the legal power to shield more than 4 million undocumented immigrants from deportation and grant them work permits. The Supreme Court today did not give a new ruling. What that means is it stands. It was tied. It was 4-4. Now, there is a glaring issue exposed here. There are, on the Supreme Court, even when it's an even number of 8 people, there are 4 justices who seem to think the U.S. has no right to enforce its border security. If leftists pick up more justices, ladies and gentlemen, do you realize how at the brink we are? That's why I began the show by saying it is scary that justices can do this, that this election is perhaps the most important. I think that the balance of the republic hangs on this election. To think that this could have been law if Obama had recess-appointed Garland, Merrick Garland, in the weeks after Scalia's death. We came very close. And remember, there were a few so-called Republicans who were going a little wobbly as to whether Merrick Garland should be appointed. Obama seems to be pro-Islam every place we turn around. Hillary Clinton is for sale to the highest bidder every place we turn around. Obama went on TV right after this decision, and he said this. I think we're going to play it for you. I've got it someplace. He said, this law has no effect on the Dreamers. He said, and he's apparently going to raid on just violating this law. It has no effect on the Dreamers at all. Mr. Robert, have we got that audio there? I think it's clip one.
As disappointing as it was to be challenged for taking the kind of action that other administrations have taken, the country was looking to the Supreme Court to resolve the important legal questions raised in this case. Today, the Supreme Court was unable to reach a decision. This is part of the consequence of the Republican failure so far to give a fair hearing to Mr. Merrick Garland, my nominee to the Supreme Court. It means that the expanded set of common sense deferred action policies, the ones that I announced 2 years ago, can't go forward at this stage.
It is a beautiful thing when these things grind along very, very slowly, but how scary it all is. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen, Obamacare should have lost too. And it was Justice Roberts who made up law as he went along in that decision. So Obama is petulant. Big surprise. He feels it was disappointing about his executive amnesty being... He says it was challenged. It was actually overruled, is the fact of the matter. And yet, these are the same people who complain when Donald Trump talks about issuing bans on certain types of refugees, something that Jimmy Carter and others have done in the past history of this nation. You know, ladies and gentlemen, well, Obama made a promise to fundamentally transform America. It's his phrase, not mine. That means he wanted to fundamentally transform it demographically, politically, economically. I presume he wanted to transform the name to Venezuela, for all I can tell. But this is about sovereignty. This is about enforcing... Please remember, these are existing immigration laws. This is about a president not being able to usurp those laws or allow for, you know, essentially padding his voter base and continuing to disrupt American civility at every single turn. It is not Donald Trump who interrupts American civility. It is this bunch on the left. That's all they do. Did you saw on television what happened last night in Congress. You saw these childlike protests. So there are 4 justices who seem to think the executive branch can ignore laws passed by a previous Congress, not changed by a current Congress. This does not bode well for the, it does not bode well for the futures, is all I can tell you. All right, so now, related to this, I said to you that, immigration is on the ticket all over the place. Today, in Great Britain, in England, they are having their Brexit vote. Now, the Brexit vote, they tell us is going to be very close. What this, distilling it down for you is this. England has been part of the European Union bloc for 43 years. And the British people do not like it anymore. You know, they never changed over their money to the euro. They still keep the pound. Whereas you travel through the rest of Europe, the France and elsewhere, they no longer have the lira in Italy or the franc in France. You've got the euro. I don't know what I'm going to do with my drawer full of francs and lira. So the vote is today. The results will be in, I think after the show is done, they'll be in tomorrow. England is deciding what they want. Now, there are several other countries in Europe that are considering leaving this. If the Brits vote to stay and others vote to leave, Great Britain will be the last viable economy left. And they'll be holding the bag for all of the needy countries who are remaining. And I'm going to tell you what's at stake there, because it's not all that different from what's at stake here. And incidentally, the people behind this who want England to stay as part of the European community, this is being heavily funded by George Soros. He's emerged as one of the key drivers of this whole Remain in the EU campaign. So you've got the, at the high end of things, you've got the big, big, big corporate moneyed interests who are often lefties, but lefties getting rich by gaming the system. Does the name Clinton come to mind? But you got lefties, liberals at the top end of the food chain, getting very, very rich. And the issue for the average Briton, English person, Englishman, UK citizen, the issue is that of the refugees. The issue is refugees, immigration. The issue is, as Dr. Savage has said for years, borders, language, and culture. So it's pouring rain there today in England. They don't know what the turnout is going to be like. Here the turnout is good. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the last chance for the Brits. If they don't exit, then resisting previous enemies would be futile. And by the way, this is not all that different from what's going on here and what Donald J. Trump has said. If we don't seal our borders, if we don't protect our culture, it's not far-fetched to say this is the last chance for us Americans. You know, I'll get to this in a little while. One of the words that drives the left crazy is when Donald Trump says his slogan, "Make America Great Again." The word "again" is the word they hate because they don't actually believe it ever was great. They don't like that whole concept. So I'm having dinner in London the other night with a very wealthy, successful titan of industry there. I can't tell you his name because you'd instantly know who he is. We go to a very expensive restaurant. We're having dinner. We're there for about 3 hours. An old friend of mine. And when we left dinner, parked in front of the restaurant was a brand new blue Bentley SUV. Now, many of you know a Bentley is a very, very expensive car. I mean, I don't know if we're talking $300,000-$500,000. I have no idea. And this Bentley is an SUV Bentley. So it sort of takes the whole thing to the next most obscene level. It's a Bentley SUV is the sort of car that inspires the people with the pitchforks and the torches. So we step out of the restaurant, and I said to my friend, "Have you seen these Bentley SUVs yet?" And he says, "Of course I've seen them. This is mine." He said, "Get in. I'm going to take you for a ride." And he sped me around Mayfair at great speed, making a lot of noise in this car. Now, the interesting thing is this. This person is a leftist. This is a person who wanted England to remain in the European community desperately. This is a person who has a home about an hour and a half outside of London. Maybe it's a $22-23 million house. I think he's got a full-time staff of somewhere between 6 and 11 people. He lives very, very, very well. And he said to me during this dinner, he said, "Doug, don't you think that the thing we've always prided ourselves on here is that England is an international country. London is the great international city, isn't it, Doug? Now, I've been, ladies and gentlemen, I've been living in England on and off for 6 months of the year, most of my adult life, since about 1980. I've been living in England as well as America. And I can tell you this, I never think of London as an international city. I think it as a large cosmopolitan city, the way you think of many other large cosmopolitan cities, New York, San Francisco to a certain extent, certainly LA to a certain extent. But I never think of it as international. Unless you consider Indian immigration, Pakistani immigration as international, Arab immigration as international, but not really international. So since 2010, when I was living there almost full-time, and I'm living there again almost full-time, yes, I have seen the faces of the population change. Yes, I have seen it. I don't feel it's international. I think it's going one direction. So my friend says to me, this titan of industry, this leftist who wants them to remain, says to me, he says, you know, I see London as a great international city. I see England as a great international country. He says, and then I drive home out to the English countryside. And he said, I'm embarrassed when I think what a bunch of racists we really are. I'm embarrassed by what a bunch of racists we really are. This is the illness of the leftist mind. This is the illness. He feels guilty because they actually had culture. They actually had borders. They actually had one of the greatest gifts to the world, the English language. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Doug Urbanski. I'm filling in for my friend Dr. Michael Savage. I've got to take a break. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for my friend Dr. Michael Savage, who I am told will be back here tomorrow. I'm going to go to the calls in a moment. But get this. Get this. Some of these Supreme Court justices are quite wealthy. Are you aware of that? Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Samuel Alito, Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan are worth some money. Ginsburg has a minimum wealth of $4.2 million. Chief Justice Roberts has a minimum wealth of $4.2 million. But get this, if Obama's guy Merrick Garland had gotten in, he would have had a wealth somewhere around $25 million, making him the absolute richest. Just fascinating things. I'd like to take a quick call from WABC. Lewis, you've been holding a very long time. Welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question or a statement and then a question for you. My grandparents were immigrants. They came here through a process of immigration, and you know, from Ellis Island they came, they worked, they applied for their green card, they applied for they had sponsorship with employment. Back then most people were tradesmen, so it was a little different than today. Could you do the audience a favor and me, please, could you just go through a basic step of the process of applying and how it evolves with someone coming here that comes.
Lewis, are you serious? I haven't a clue. I'm not an immigration lawyer. I interact with immigration lawyers quite a lot because of some of the people I work with. It is possible. I mean, I know all kinds of people who do apply and who go through the process and they get their green cards and they eventually are citizens here. I have no idea what the steps are. Thankfully, I was born here. My grandparents, incidentally, on my father's side of the family, also came in through Ellis Island. My wife's entire family came in. Well, they came in after the Holocaust. Her family were Holocaust survivors. But I have no idea what the process is nowadays. What we do know is that there's a legal process. And by the way, thank you for the call. There's a legal process. There are steps to be done. The Supreme Court, the Democrats, the liberals in this country, who are desirous of creating a new voter bloc, do not like the law as it is. Why didn't Obama had both houses? What was that about?
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So if you haven't already heard, there are four Supreme Court justices who think that the law doesn't matter. Four in an evenly divided court, which is the way I like Urbanski likes it. It's Doug Urbanski, ladies and gentlemen. So delighted to be with you today, filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. The phone number here, if you'd like to call the show and be part of the conversation, is 1-855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. I am told that Dr. Savage will be back here tomorrow. Go to Michael Savage, one word, michaelsavage.com for the latest headlines. Great website. Michael's new book, Teddy and Me, is out there. You can get it now if you like it. And also, I'll tell you again in this segment before we finish, how to vote for Michael Savage. If you're a fan, if you're a follower, into the National Radio Hall of Fame, where he belongs. I found Michael Savage in the days right after 9/11. I was shooting a film up in Reno, Nevada, and the flights were all... It's a very strange place to be working. The flights were all canceled, so my friends and I had to drive up. The studio gave us a nice Cadillac SUV to drive up there. And in the darkness one night up there, or one afternoon in the fall, I heard Michael Savage's voice. And he was wise. He was funny. He was, I don't want to say he was subversive, because Michael was just out there saying things that nobody else was saying. So we have the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court today has ruled that profiling can be used in the sense that they're using race as a factor. They've approved that race can be used as a factor in university admissions. That's the first thing. The second, the biggest thing, and Obama's out there acting very petulant about this, is that Obama's immigration plan, the one he signed in by executive order, it hasn't been blocked by the Supreme Court. The system has worked precisely as it's designed to do, although Obama is out there misrepresenting it. Of course he is, of course he is, of course he is. It is, they have said that the lower court ruling will stand. It was a one-sentence opinion. These things are, they're not glamorous opinions, but the outcome of this kills the plan for Obama's immigration policy. The outcome underscores that the direction of U.S. immigration policy is going to be determined in large part by this fall's presidential election. And this is a campaign that, when Donald J. Trump began nearly a year ago on this journey, he put immigration front and center. And it's front and center today in England. The vote is being taken. The ultra elites and the rich being funded, being supported by George Soros and his group. I do not make it up. George Soros has emerged as the key driver between the whole English debate of remaining in the European Union. The whole thing that Donald Trump brought up a year ago, the whole thing that Michael Savage has talked about as long as I've been listening, has been immigration, immigration, immigration. And again, it's thrust right back into the center stage of the entire conversation here. Obama was petulant. He said, well, he was disappointed. He was disappointed that his executive amnesty thing was not overturned. He was disappointed. He said he's still out there saying that they can't hold up his very wealthy judge nominee, Merrick Garland. He's out there saying, I think we have the audio of this, don't we? He's out there saying, I want you to hear this clip. It's going to be clip number two, Robert. Hold on one second. He's out there saying that this ruling does not have an impact. That's his quote on other executive orders. Let's play clip two.
It does not have any impact on, from our perspective, on the host of other issues that we're working on, because each one of these issues has a different analysis and is based on different statutes or different interpretations of our authority. So, for example, on climate change, that's based on the Clean Air Act and the EPA and previous Supreme Court rulings, as opposed to a theory of prosecutorial discretion that in the past is every other president has exercised. And the Supreme Court wasn't definitive one way or the other on this. I mean, the problem is they don't have a ninth justice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if any of you heard Donald Trump's speech yesterday. We'll get to that and Hillary's reaction to it in a little while. This is why you cannot elect a Democrat to the presidency or to our Congress at this point. You saw what they did last night. They don't care about the law. They will legislate from the bench, and they're disappointed when the bench doesn't legislate their way. They will legislate via executive action if they can. They will try that too. All of this is bad stuff. I mean, you know, part of the backdrop on this is that, think of this. While this is playing out, immigration is playing out over there at the Senate, they're having a vote as to whether the FBI should have access to your browser histories without a court order. And this vote fell short by one vote. It was Mitch McConnell who switched his vote. You wonder, why did old McConnell switch his vote? And Urbanski theorizes he did it because he sees that Donald Trump will use it as an election issue, and he doesn't want to be on the wrong side of any election issue, does he? So the polls are open in England. And this is what I wanted to get to. I don't know if any of you really understand how the European Union works, but there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is a dictatorship. And you may say, well, how dare you say such a thing? It is a dictatorship. So there is a commission. It's headed by a man or woman. When it issues a regulation, that regulation has the force of law on all 28 member states immediately. Let me say that again. Immediately, the force of law. Nobody of the 28 member states at that point has the right to question the regulation. The regulation, which has the force of law, is uncontestable. It arrives from the European Union, and voila, it is law. There are no discussions. The Brits don't discuss it in the Parliament. There's no debate. There's nothing, nothing. Once you understand this, you understand why England is having this debate. Yes, there are powerful rich forces like Soros who want England to remain. They get wealthy on this. And the English people have utterly had it with immigration, with refugees. The system as they have it now in Europe, and you know, look to Europe, because as goes Europe, so goes how the left see America going. When you come to Europe, it is the opposite of democratic. It is completely, utterly totalitarian. There is no opposition to the 28-man commission. It simply issues directives, regulations, and that's how it goes. You go along or you don't go along. So the polls are open in England. It's a historic referendum. And the British. You know, the British, ladies and gentlemen, I have a certain affection for them. I've had, you know, great success in my life there. The British outgrew the European Union a long time ago. They were very smart. They kept the pound sterling, and they want to get out. Many Brits do. I hope they vote the right way today. I see Alex in Las Vegas disagrees with me. We'll get to your call after the break, Alex. They want to get out from this very failed socialist system. And there's always the chance that nothing is going to change because the European Union elites, the globalists, will not yield their grip on power very easily. The Dutch and the French people, they overwhelmingly voted against ratifying the European Constitution a few years ago, and the European Union, Eurocrats, let's call them, they went ahead with ratification through the Lisbon Treaty anyhow. So I am hoping that the British have the guts to leave, the bravery. They have the English have a country and a culture worth saving. And I never understood the whole EU thing anyway. And basically, this sort of globalism, it's what's being foisted upon us here. Think of this, in the European Union, the British are now essentially governed by the Germans. They defeated the Germans in World War II, ladies and gentlemen. And it's like, it's like the globalists have gone into a two-minute hurry-up offense against the whole world in the last 7 years, if you ask me. My wife has a very good title, if a book was ever written about Obama, called The Man Who Broke the World. And the sad thing is, the really sad thing is that most people are just not paying attention. You've got, think of this, when you've got Paul Krugman at the New York Times, George Soros, and every leftist is out there predicting that the UK is going, there's going to be a catastrophe, a global catastrophe. Just like global warming is a catastrophe, I assume. you know that this is pure politics for the left. And that means that you, if you like, if you look at who supports these things, it tells the whole tale. If the left support them, you know, that tells the whole tale, something you should dismiss. The UK should leave. Anyway, the whole idea of European Union is a strange concept. These countries have been at war with each other one time or another for centuries. I just got back from 3 weeks in Bulgaria. You know, Europe is a blood, every inch of the soil is blood-soaked. French woman, Frenchman, they're not German people. They're not Italian if you're French. They're not Polish. They're not Czech. A Dane is not a Swede. I couldn't see any sense. I couldn't see if there's any sense of a country called European Union, or even why such an entity would exist, given the European history. They love their identity. And then you add, you see, the devil is in the details. You add to that a bureaucracy that was not elected by any of the European Union countries' electorates. And this bureaucracy gets staffed by faceless, nameless leftist bureaucrats, which is nothing more than a hidden dictatorship by bureaucrat. And I am amazed. I'm amazed that no country at this point has even exited to vote this mess long before now. The leftist ideology that the European Union state is everything. The state is everything has taken over the idea of nationalism, where the identity, the very identity of various countries must be destroyed. It must be destroyed to accommodate the appointed tyrants, let's call them, who rule over Europe and rule over the regular people. This is the reason this is so important. This is the last chance for the Brits. If they don't exit, then resisting previous enemies is futile. It is futile. Resisting immigration, this march of immigration, also futile. So there is no doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on. Immigration is its main topic all over the world as we sit here. Now look, it's Doug Urbanski. The phone number is 1-855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. I'm filling in for Dr. Michael Savage, who I'm told will be back here tomorrow. I want you to go, Michael Savage, I want you to vote for him. I want you to vote him into the National Radio Hall of Fame. All you have to do is text SAVAGE to 36500, and that does the trick. I notice that Michael is getting more and more of the recognition he deserves in the New York Times and elsewhere. This really is the penultimate cherry on the sundae, if you ask me. So vote Michael into the National Radio Hall of Fame, would you? Text SAVAGE to 36500. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. I'm going to return in just a moment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation, ladies and gentlemen. It's Douglas Urbanski filling in for Dr. Michael Savage, who is not here today. I'm told he'll be back tomorrow. The phone number here is 1-855-400-7282. The website is www.michaelsavage.com. That's one word, Michael Savage. And I'd like to take a few calls, finish out this half hour. Morris in San Francisco, KSFO. Welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, sir?
I'm wonderful. Thank you very much for taking my call. Briefly, I just wanted to say that what we are doing is we're falling into the liberal conversation of calling this issue, the Supreme Court, an immigration issue. It is not immigration. It is illegal entry into our country. What we need to do is to make sure that we don't fall into that trap of giving them validity of talking about that or giving them validity saying that it's about immigration. It's not. I was talking to the gentleman who was your screener. We have a church, and we had to have religious workers come into this country. We had to apply for them. They had to come from the Philippines. There was a process. They now have green cards. They came into the country legally. 9 times out of 10, people who are in other countries have to go through a process. Mexico, or our border state, is the only country that can walk across our borders with impunity. The Filipinos can't do that. No one from
Morris, don't you think most Americans get this and that's why the left is going crazy? By, you know, their worldview is being challenged. And you want to see a leftist meltdown, really meltdown. Their brains practically explode when their worldview is challenged. Don't you think most Americans get this?
I don't believe that they get that. I think that we have...
Well, don't you think this explains the rise of Donald Trump's popularity?
That is rise of popularity for people who are informed. However, you don't hear anybody refuting that. You don't hear even our own, Donald talking about illegal entry. He needs to say specifically, illegal entry. We're not talking about immigration. We're talking about illegal entry into this country. Period.
You know something, Morris? You slipped into something we have to be careful not to do. I've sort of made a vow that I'm not going to start ever saying what Donald needs to do is or what he should do is, because he seems to have an almost savant-like grasp on how to keep moving through forward in this process. I mean, I agree with you in your concept there, but I think Americans get this. I really think in large measure they get the idea that laws are being broken, there is illegal activity taking place, and that's why I began the show today by saying, do you believe that there are 4 sitting Supreme Court justices that don't recognize the American law? You heard me say that, didn't you, Morris?
I believe that's right, and I believe you. It is absolutely apparent because they are making law, not interpreting.
Well, they didn't make any law, but what you meant to say is that you agree with me. The scary part is that there are 4 justices who think that the law is, who just don't agree with the law. They don't like it, so the heck with it. That's how it goes. They sit in that spot. Morris, good luck to you in what you're doing over there in San Francisco. That's where Michael is located, one of my favorite towns. Ladies and gentlemen, so much more to get to today. I'm going to try and explain to you something about Donald Trump. If you ever have queasy feelings about him, as we all must do, to be honest about it, from time to time, I'll explain to you how to talk yourself out of the queasy feelings. Doug Urbanski filling for Michael Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. The phone number 1-855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. They tell me Dr. Michael Savage will be back tomorrow. I listened to the show yesterday, and Michael mentioned that he was coming down with a head cold. Michael, if you're hearing this, I hope you're feeling better today. So it's Doug Urbanski. All right. I want to just finish up with a few callers before I continue to move on here. And I see that Gary has been holding from WABC in the New York area. How are you, Gary? And welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's always great to be part of the Savage Nation. And just before I get to the meat of my call, I just like to do something. I always do a contribution to society.
Okay.
And I always say, learn how to swim. You never know when you're going in. I could tell a quick story. When we were kids, we threw the baseball coach in the swimming pool, and the guy didn't know how to swim. He was a great athlete. I mean, we got him out. It just goes to show you, you just don't know when you're going in, and you don't know who doesn't know how to swim. And so many kids today don't know how to swim. That is a disgrace. I'm getting to the meat of my call now.
Yes. I was wondering when that would happen, Gary.
Go ahead.
No, I was waiting for you. The swimming story is fine, but what was your point?
The point is there's so many kids today who've never been taught, know how to learn how to swim. You hear about drownings and stuff. I like to get it out there. Usually when I make...
Yes, but what's your point about the European Union?
I'm talking about the European Union now. They got together. To me, it was always my personal belief. Their agenda was to open up the borders wide open in Europe, right? Socialize as much as they can, put it on the back of the average worker. But I don't think all European people really were into this, didn't really want to go for this. This was basically shoved down their throat, and now they're paying for it now. Europe is being invaded. There's no one doing anything about it. You hear lip service about it. But basically, if you look at France, you look at Germany, you look at England, these countries have been invaded, and we've said all along, we don't want to be Europe. We don't want to be the Middle East. Well, guess what, folks? We are Europe now, and we are Middle East, because we have these lunatic terrorist attacks taking place inside the United States of America. I'm here in New York. I was here on 9/11. The 9/11 attack, people should always remember, was an attack that was planned for and trained for by a foreign entity that attacked the United States of America within our borders.
Hey, Gary, are you aware, or have you heard this before, that we had essentially no immigration in this country from 1924 to 1965, about 40 years?
of course, we've always had timeouts on legal immigration.
That's right. And what we did was, we had made, because I think every country has the right to decide who we are, what our culture is, what our health profile is, diseases we're prevented from coming into the country. The government almost had a security responsibility and responsibility to its people to say, who are we? What do we look like? How are we? How are we better? How are we going to take a pause in the system so that people will arrive here and assimilate into the system? Become one of us.
Well, I can tell you that not everybody is assimilating inside this country.
No, but if you think of that period of time from 1924 to 1965, think of what happened in this country when people came in and assimilated. The Italians, the Germans, the Irish, the Polish, my people. Think about it. When they came in, and this was the idea, they wanted to be American. They wanted to learn English. There were families who forbade them to speak the language of the old country at home. Are you aware of that?
Right. We also did share a common linkage between, we were basically white European Christians. Whether we were here then, we were immigrants who came in and basically had the same culture. We followed the same culture. That America, we all like Mickey Mantle. We all liked Ike. We all did. But today, we don't have the same cultures inside this country. We'd have different heroes. In life, you don't get to pick other people's heroes. The best way to destroy a society is to flood it with, people call it cultures, different types of cultures. The Soviet Union would do that. The ancient Greeks would do that. And that's how you destroy a culture and a society. Basically, that's what they've done to America. They've really come in here with hundreds of different cultures, and that's how you do it, and that's how you destroy a society and a country. We have no common linkage anymore.
No, and that's what Michael Savage has been talking about, borders, language, and culture, as in the 15 years I've been listening to him. Thank you so much, Gary and WABC, for calling the Savage Nation. I want to speak to Marie at KMAJ in Kansas. Marie, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today?
I'm fine, and I'm not just concerned about illegal immigration into this country. I'm concerned about resettlement of refugees by state and local governments, because, well, in the federal government too, because it seems like they can go over the heads of the citizens of American towns, and we just have to put up with people coming into our towns that may not be interested in assimilating.
But Marie, don't you think it's a good thing that your local newspapers run on the front page every single day how many they're settling in your town?
No, they do not. We haven't heard anything.
I was being sarcastic. That's the whole point. They don't. They're going to do it. They're not going to tell you they're doing it, and it's going to happen whether you like it or not. This is, I tell you, Marie, liberalism is the most destructive and dangerous force on earth. I always come back to this.
I agree totally, and I think we're just concerned about people coming over the borders, but this stuff is happening in our own towns by our own government. These are not just people breaking in, they're putting them in our towns against our control.
What is it, Marie, do you think that Obama has in his mind about this country, or that Hillary does? What do you think is in their mind?
You know, it's funny, a lot of people say that Obama is a Muslim or a closet Muslim. I don't think he is. What he said in interviews and about his religious views, it seems to me he's just a pluralist. He thinks that everyone's fine. We can believe whatever we want to, but I do think he has a great admiration for Islam. He's not been able to hide that fact, and I think he is advising his administration to tone down any kind of anti-Islamic rhetoric.
Well, there's no question about that. I would counterbalance it by saying not only is what you say true, but I would also say that he has a great disdain for the United States of America, because if I can sum up for everybody listening, and for you, Marie, I can sum up for everybody Obama's worldview, and this is the worldview that is now embraced by the left. It really wasn't out there this way so blatantly until Obama came along. His worldview is simply this. He believes that he only sees every single thing on earth in one construct, and that is, he sees the oppressed and the oppressor. It doesn't matter if it's Israel, it doesn't matter if it's gay rights, it doesn't matter what the issue is, there's only one construct he sees, the oppressed and the oppressor. And he sees America as the great oppressor of everything right, in his mind. So therefore he views himself as the correction, all leftists do. Would you agree with that, Marie?
Absolutely. I think you have summed it up perfectly in a nutshell. He is like the official apologist for all of America's sins. He disdains our culture. And
can you imagine a presidency that begins by the apology tour to Cairo, begins the presidency this way, and finishes with the apology tour to Hiroshima?
Yes, and then following the Orlando attack, he threw the gay people under the bus by refusing to acknowledge who their enemy was.
Well, let me tell you something, Bree. I've got an awful lot of gay friends. I'm in show business, of course. And very privately speaking, they're Trump people. They don't, you know, publicize this a lot. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. Actually, it does not surprise me. I think what we see in the media is just a wrong portrayal of the whole situation.
Yes, exactly. All right, Marie. Well, this is good to talk to you out there in Kansas today. Marie, have a good day. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. She's right, though. She's right. The left is planning. They're bringing. Listen, this is why the Brexit vote in England and the European Union thing, why I'm watching it, because the liberal left is trying to bring the policies that they've experimented with and shoved down the throats of the Europeans here to America. There's no question about it. And this is exemplified by Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren, who's, you know, crazy. I don't know if you're aware of this. Hillary Clinton being reported by the Daily Mail, at least in the UK, she's been taking Elizabeth Warren, let's call her, on a test drive on the election trail in Ohio this week. She took her to Cincinnati, and, you know, these rumors have gotten fueled that Elizabeth Warren may be the vice presidential pick on that side. So if you just think of this, if you had Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren, Let me see. Well, then you've got the which of the East and the which of the West covered. Who do you get for the which of the? They kind of like a communist Thelma and Louise act, if you stop and think about it. But it's true. I don't think Trump will allow any of this stuff if he's elected president. It ain't gonna happen. Not at all. Adam at WABC in New York. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What do you have to say, sir?
Yeah, this is a sad day for democracy, starting with England. Because I believe the majority of the English people did want to get out of the European Union, but I do feel that the Soros groups and the Clintons, they're going to try to impose that same style of the EU in America. If it didn't already happen under their wing, it's happening and it's going to happen.
No question about it. But I have talked to a lot of English people, and unless they're really, really, really very wealthy, the average English person that I speak to, and I'm there, you know, I was there the other day, I'll be there in a few days again, the average Brit, the average taxi driver, I always take my taxi driver poll, and it's not scientific, the average London taxi driver wants out, which always tells you something of some sort. Yeah, left is trying to bring all of those policies here. Anything else you want to contribute to the Savage Nation, Adam, while you've got the chance?
Vote for Trump. It's the only way to go.
By the way, what did you think of that speech yesterday?
He hit the nail on the head. He knows exactly what he's talking about. It's all true.
I don't think that speech can be talked about enough. I think it is a watershed turning of the corner moment. It is a dramatic moment. I'll get to this in the next hour. Even NPR, National Public Radio, and you know what they are thinking over there, even they came out praising the speech. And the left is going crazy, because they are never challenged and never attacked. I'm going to deal in the next hour with this speech and Hillary Clinton's reaction to it. I know that you'll want to listen to that. I don't know if you can, Adam, where you are, but I know you'll want to hear it. Thanks so much, Adam, for calling the Savage Nation. It's Doug Urbanski, ladies and gentlemen, filling in for Michael Savage. Phone number is 1-855-400-7282. And I'd like you to go. It's about time. Don't you agree that Michael Savage gets voted into the National Radio Hall of Fame? So you got to make that happen, for real. So you go to Savage, you text Savage to 36500, and you will make that happen. I think the other question is this. Get this. Hillary Clinton, here's a little statistic in case you're not following the plot. Do you know that she's not had a press conference, a news conference, in over 200 days? In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the entirety of her narrative is that which is being promoted and driven by the leftist media. A woman who's not challenged on anything, And you really do need a challenger. I mean, you need to hire a whole staff of fact checkers where this woman is concerned. Trump, this is why Trump hit the nail out of the park yesterday, hit the ball out of the park, because she doesn't go out there and give, she's never challenged. She has not held a news conference. And when she has these individual interviews, they lob these very softball questions at her. She has not held a news conference. Not held a news conference at all in 200 days and counting as of yesterday. So she doesn't seem to be in a big, big rush to be challenged in any way, shape, or form. All right, it's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, his show. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
Is going absolutely bonkers about Trump's speech yesterday. They're going crazy. Hillary Clinton and the left are not accustomed, ladies and gentlemen, to being challenged this way ever. Finishing this hour, before we go to that speech, I want to finish with a few calls. It is the Savage Nation. It is guest host Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. Dr. Savage will be here tomorrow, we are told. The phone number here is 1-855-400-7282. 1-855-400-7282. Yes. Oh, and Obama. Obama's going crazy out there about Trump as well. To be expected. He's out there saying Trump's not considered a successful businessman. It's hysterical. It's hysterical. Obama out there opining on such things. All right. Alex in Las Vegas, you've been holding a very long time. So welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, Alex?
Fine. You were mentioning earlier you lived in London or England. So I live there.
And I still do.
Well, my father lived there. He died. I inherited. He had a flat on Eaton Square. I don't know if you know London, but...
I live there. I live there, Alex. I live there even now. Of course I know Eaton Square.
Yeah, anyway, it's been quite a while. And this is going to make you like me, but one of my dad's friends was George Soros, so I don't know if they're going to make you like me or not, but...
Well, I can do the name-dropping thing, too, if we want to. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, I'm talking about the European Union.
No, but you want to drop names, I can do the... I'm like the best at it, because I know them all. But go on, finish.
I think England should stay, unfortunately. I'll tell you why, because I think that the economic upheaval of no end in England, if they dropped out, because right now the European market accepts the pound and changes it to euros. I think if they dropped out, they wouldn't accept the pound anymore. And it's going to be a lot of problems.
That's preposterous. By the way, are you a Trump guy?
I'm neither. I'm an independent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Neither Trump mm-hmm. or Clinton.
You're what?
I'm neither Trump or Clinton.
No, of course not. Of course not. Well, what are you going to do?
I haven't decided yet.
I promise you this.
I promise
you this, Alex. If England drops out, and we'll know late tonight or tomorrow, I promise you that they will exchange the pound for the euro. I'm making you that promise.
You think so?
Of course they will. England is one of the major economies in that part of the world, if not in the world.
I don't know if the rest of Europe would be too happy about it. But
are you kidding? The rest of Europe is full of countries themselves that are thinking of dropping out. No, this is the corporatist. I got to jump. I got to scoot for a break. Thank you for the call, Alex. I hope you and I speak again. Call if you ever hear me again, if I'm ever asked back here. No, Europe, many countries are thinking of dropping out. Of course they are. We don't know how it will come out. This is run by the big money interest of the corporations to keep them in. The people, however, are fed up with immigration. That's the bottom line.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, not enough can be said about Donald Trump's sort of a remarkable speech yesterday. I don't think it can be talked about enough. I think it's a historic speech. It will be looked back on as a historic speech. This is Douglas Urbanski. Michael Savage, Dr. Michael Savage, obviously is not here today. And it is me filling in for him, my friend Michael Savage. And the phone number here is 1-855-400-7282. Savage Nation, MichaelSavage.com, www.michaelsavage.com for his headlines. Michael's book, Teddy and Me, is available now. And also, at the end of the segment, I will tell you how, and I hope you will, vote Michael into the National Radio Hall of Fame. It is about time. So, I don't know about, this will tie into the conversation about Trump's speech yesterday, because you haven't heard what I have to say about it, and also Hillary's fascinating responses to it, and Obama's fascinating response, because Obama is really taking a lot of the Trump stuff really, well, is it anything new that any of us think that Obama is thin-skinned about criticism? This is nothing new, ladies and gentlemen, is it? So I want to begin this story here. Because I will define for you in a way that I promise will not be boring what a definition of a conservative is, because you've been misled about that. And I will also try and explain to you what's really going on here in terms of how the left view America and when the decision was made. And it was Republicans that made a very bad choice as to where this country was going. And Donald Trump seems to be the corrective medicine. All right, so let's begin our story here. I have felt this, and I was in Bulgaria for the past, I don't know, 3 weeks or so. I forget, I lose track of time. And sitting there, I was giving great thought to Bernie Sanders and his supporters. And little signs, little stories were coming out that they might support Trump. And I said at the time to my friends who I was traveling with and said to myself that, well, wouldn't it be fascinating if about, oh, somewhere between 40 and 60% of the Bernie Sanders people actually became Donald Trump people? Because there is a logic here. There was a real logic here, and the logic was hidden in this thing we keep hearing about. And in this thing we keep hearing about, which is a lie, it's almost a dirty lie, this idea that the negatives on Trump and Hillary are massive. His negatives, his unfavorables are bigger than hers. Her unfavorables are huge. Two people with such unfavorables. It's a crazy thing to talk about, these unfavorables. Because you got to dig inside the numbers. Who supports the police more? Who do you trust more on national security? Who do you trust more? Who supports the vets more? These are really where an election lives. Not in whose favorable rating is higher or lower, because it's like one of the greatest myths is whenever we discuss the congressional ratings, Congress always rates very, very low in favorability. And yet, if you went district by district and had people rate their own senator, their own congressman, individually they would rate very high. So it's a misleading number to say Congress is not very popular. Of course it's not popular. It shouldn't be popular, by the way. So Bernie Sanders voters, now Urbanski's sitting there in Bulgaria having some wonderful food over there and making another film over there in a communist studio, by the way, a communist-era-built studio. It's its own thing. And I come up with the idea that somewhere between 40 and 60% of the Sanders voters are going to be the people who ultimately move over to Trump. Now get this. There's news from Bloomberg. A June 14th Bloomberg Politics national poll of likely voters in November's election found that barely half of those who favored Sanders, in fact, the number is 55%, plan to vote for Clinton. But instead, 22% are saying that they will vote for Trump. Now, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that when you have this many people not supporting Clinton, please remember this. Let's look at the typical Bernie Sanders voter. About 80% of them were not Sanders supporters. They were Sanders voters. The other 20%, let's say, were the millennials, meaning the uninformed mostly. I have never met a leftist or liberal who was an informed person, by the way. Who was anything other? I've never met or heard of a liberal who was anything other than a low-information person. Not one exists, to my knowledge, on the planet. And I'll take that topic up with anyone, anytime, anywhere. My point was that they weren't voting for Sanders or what for Sanders stood for. They were voting against Hillary. My friends, I'm in Hollywood. My dear friends, I'm here. I hear the whispers. I hear them talk about how much they don't like her. She's never been popular in her own party. So 80% of those people are going to Sanders because they disliked her, and another 20% because they're uninformed. However, the thing, the appeal of Trump, the appeal, you will find that there are people who were Sanders people, who like one aspect of Trump so much it tips the scale for them over Hillary Clinton. And that could be the attitude that says, well, I don't agree with a lot of what Trump says, but he doesn't owe anybody. He's not owned by anybody. He's not in anybody's pocket. I don't agree with him, but he's not owned by anybody. Now, I promised a little earlier in today's broadcast to explain something to you. When you have a queasy feeling from time to time about Donald Trump, and he may have washed all of that away yesterday with that speech, by the way. I'm open-minded to that being a fact. But when you have the queasy feelings that one gets about Donald Trump from time to time, I tell you how I comfort myself, because I've been a Trump man. I've actually been a Trump man for a very long time. I may embarrass myself. I actually said on the air one day in 2011, we can prove this, that Donald Trump would one day be president and be a great president. Said it. Don't know why I said it. I'm certainly no Nostradamus, but I did say it. When you are queasy about Donald Trump, and it's totally normal to be queasy about him. Although I spoke yesterday at some length to a really good friend of his, and I said, is he some sort of political savant? Does he get the big picture here in a way that we've never seen anyone get it? My friend who knows him quite well said that's a perfect word for the man. He's a sort of political savant. So let's not discount any possibility here. Here's what I look to. In my moments of complete queasiness about Donald Trump, I look around him. I see that Obama's going after his business record today. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we went after Obama's business record? It's laughable. Obama going after Trump's business record. It's unbelievable. We live in a crazy time, my dear friends. We live in a very crazy time. What I look at about Donald J. Trump that gives me solace is this. I look at his life. It's not merely enough that he's never touched tobacco or alcohol. Those are two fascinating facts. I have had both, and both fairly recently. I'm sorry to admit. I don't mean this morning, but I mean during the course of the past 48 hours, let's say. He doesn't touch either of those things. You look at Donald Trump's family. You look at these children. You look at the son-in-law. You look at this family. These are smart, bright, educated people. These are people who utterly worship their father or their father-in-law. Do you hear the way their family speak about him? It's adoringly. He's the best. He's the nicest. He's the smartest. Now, let me borderline go into something sacrilegious here, which is that you can't even say this about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, very, very, very great man, came to this house, where I live, in fact. Met him several times, and we knew had lots of friends in common. Stories for another day, if I'm ever invited back here. Ronald Reagan's family was a dysfunctional family. You only had to watch the television coverage of Nancy's funeral very recently to once again see the emotional geography of that family. This one didn't get along with her. He didn't get along with that one. That one didn't like the father's politics. There was no real adoration or belief of those kids. Ronald Reagan was, let's say it, in you know, from an observation point, 35,000 feet, he may not have been the best father. It was a classically complicated, dysfunctional family. That is not the case with the Trumps. It is the most embarrassingly functional family I've ever seen. By the way, can you imagine if the Trumps win the White House, what that's going to be like? And I'm not going to make the jokes about how ugly the remodel is going to be. We've all heard how all the shiny brass and whatnot. We've all heard these jokes. No. I think that they will be very uplifting, I think, as a first family. I think they are smart. They are stylish. They will be examples. The daughter's business acumen and the son's. I mean, these are very impressive people. So I look to the Trump family. Now, I want to make another point here before I get into Trump and his conservatism. And the thing that really he says that irks the left, that gets deeply under their skin, and that is this. You have the Trump family. You have this man with an amazing business record. Many people who don't like him are deeply misled about a basic thing. They look at Donald Trump and they say there's a narcissist. There's an egomaniac. There's Trump is only in it for Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all 180 degrees inaccurate. It's wrong. Or if you're Sheila Jackson Lee, you say it's 360 degrees wrong. The fact is, he's the opposite of a narcissist. He's the opposite of someone who's an egomaniac. What he is he's confident. And he has strong views based upon experience out there in the world. And these views challenge the reality, the invested reality of anyone on the left. And they make a lot of people who believe they're on the right very uncomfortable, because we've even had what it means to be a conservative redefined. Goldwater warned us about this from 63. Reagan warned us about this in his time, that the nature of conservatism would be redefined by others into something it is not. And it has happened. And there is Trump. And I make the argument that he, in fact, is a very strong conservative. I've never been able to understand these people who say he's not. Because well, we'll get to the details in a short time here. But Trump is a good man, apparently. He's a conservative man, but he is not beholden to special interests. This is a guy who's got $10 billion. Does he need this? No. He has the confidence, he thinks. It's time to help America with what he's experienced, what he sees, and with the fact that he has this supreme confidence, this very thick skin. Nothing derails him. He's not beholden to lobbyists. He's not beholden to donors. He never will be beholden to these people. That's not an egomaniac. That's a man who trusts that he holds the right viewpoint, and he trusts, if he's elected president, that he can and will go over the heads of the media and talk to you. And convince you that you should support these policies. And he knows, and he seems to have an understanding of the pulse of America. And I am not so concerned as these terrorized congressmen and senators are that they won't be reelected. They're going to be with Donald Trump. They're going to stand for things that help get the Trump agenda through. These are good things. These are really good things. And I'm not here as a cheerleader for Trump, as much as someone who has thought about and observed these things. And I can tell you how queasy, talk about queasy, how unsettled I was by almost every word uttered by Ted Cruz when I really examined what was going on. Now, I got to take a break. I got to scoot for just a moment. But when I come back, if you've not had anyone lately tell you what a conservative, and it is not boring, it's quite interesting, actually, and is Trump a conservative, I will explain to you the facts on those things, and also Hillary's response to that speech yesterday. I love it. The phone number here is 1-855-400-7282. It is the Savage Nation. I promised you that I would say this at the end of the last segment and this segment. Vote Michael Savage into the National Radio Hall of Fame. It is time. It is time. The establishment won't like it. They want to keep him out. So you text Savage to 36500 and you can make it happen. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. We scoot along now. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
So the big question that they tried to tell us, they tried to sell us on during the past many, many months, is that Donald Trump is no conservative. He's no conservative. He's not a conservative. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a conservative. I'm going to prove it to you. They've perverted the definition of it. It's Doug Urbanski, by the way, filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. I'm told he'll be back tomorrow. 1-855-400-7282 is the number, and I hope that you will have a chance to call and we can speak together, just us, just you and I speaking on the air. One of the things that drives the left utterly crazy in the entire Trump of it all reality is this. He says, make America great. But he's added a brilliant word. It's just like when he says he wants to put a ban on a certain sort of immigration, and he always adds the words, until we know what's going on. And he knows that when he says those words, until we know what's going on, that all of you understand exactly what he's saying. So when he says, make America great again, it is the word again that drive them crazy. It's that little word at the end, make America great. I mean, if you simply had a slogan that said make America great, they would endorse that in a second. Hillary could endorse that. Bernie Sanders could endorse that, because that's their idea as well. They want to make America great. Now, they want to make America great according to their own truly demented view of the world. I mean, to them, it's make America great is free college education or putting men in ladies' bathrooms. To them, making America great is the bureaucratic state. So on and so forth. Those people utterly hate the Founding Fathers. They have scorn towards them. They hate the Constitution. They hate our freedoms. These people are convinced those things should be tossed aside. So when Donald Trump says, make America great again, I'll explain to you on the other side of this break and also take your calls here on the Savage Nation exactly what he means. Your calls also. I was making the point, ladies and gentlemen, before the break that that Donald Trump's phrase, make America great again, that the word again drives these people nuts. They could easily get on to the phrase make America great anytime, because to them make America great, as I said, means men's and ladies' bathrooms and bureaucratic state and how much they hate the Founding Fathers. By the way, it's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. I hope Michael is feeling better and he'll be back here tomorrow. I'll tell you again at the end of the segment how to vote for him to get into the Radio Hall of Fame. It is time for it to happen. It is time for it to happen. It is time for it to happen. So here comes along Trump. And he says, no. He says, we're going to make America great again. Because he believes that we have had moments of greatness. And this is an undisputable fact, ladies and gentlemen. Of course we have had it. He is talking about our heritage. He's talking about our customs. He's talking about a level of respect to those who came before and who fought for the country. He's talking about secure borders. He's talking about economic nationalism. And what, for goodness sake, is wrong with that? He's talking about interests, about a self-interest-based foreign policy. What, my dear friends, is wrong with that? Now, you may get queasy at some of his comments in the past. All of them were strategic. Speaking to a very good friend of mine yesterday, I mentioned him earlier, I can't say his name, who's a good friend of Donald Trump's. He calls him Donald, personally. This friend of mine made the point, and we got on the phone, had a good long talk about this. I got very queasy when Donald Trump, and I believe I heard Michael Savage's show from Bulgaria when I was there listening, and Michael had queasiness also when Donald Trump started attacking the judge in the university case. Did you notice, however, as he flew through that storm, that Trump didn't break a sweat? And do you realize what he may have been doing? This is why I say he's a sort of political savant. He was inoculating, like a vaccine, this whole idea of Trump University, which Hillary loved to keep bringing up. And that area, they'll bring it up again, but it's more or less inoculated now that Trump has put that idea out there. So you may wince at some of his comments, but he's talking about open borders, which nobody wants. He's talking about the myth of political correctness, which you are not buying and I don't buy, but the left of the media are way invested in it, and Trump does it. He breaks political correctness, and he pays no price because we love the honesty. He's talking about multiculturalism. He's talking about free trade. Ladies and gentlemen, Trump is at least far more conservative than many of these so-called Republicans with their very liberal-minded globalist view, the globalist capitalists. We see them at the National Review. We see them other places as well. These characters are the ones who have comically taken it upon themselves to define what conservatism is. What is it isn't conservative? They're the deciders. And of course, these labels don't tell you how someone's going to govern anyway. A liberal used to mean someone who believed in personal liberty, who believed in freedom, who had a suspicion of big government. Now, the liberal-lefty mindset has morphed into progressives who believe in government control of everything. Essentially, a socialist, borderline communist view with a smiley face on it. When you say socialist, leftist, liberal, communism, all in the same sentence, I know people get very agitated, but read Whitaker Chambers' magnificent book, Witness. He was an undercover spy for the communists, for the Russian communists here in this country. And he says that liberalism is the great communist secret weapon. Trump does not fit into these labels. He has correctly stated the problems of illegal immigration. He put it front and center. He has correctly stated the problems of national security. He has correctly stated the fact that we have a weak economy. And then he goes on, he proposes common sense solutions. He says, build a wall. Common sense solution. Enforce immigration laws that we currently have. Common sense solution. Destroy ISIS. Common sense solution. Suspend immigration from countries, certain countries, until we know what's going on. By the way, FDR did this. FDR. He suspended immigration from Germany, Japan, from Italy during World War II. Trump says renegotiate trade deals so that countries fairly treat us as we treat them. But the so-called conservative writers who choose to examine whether Trump read the right books or the approved books or spoke in the approved language, they sniff, they put their noses up at his business background, like Romney, who's turned into a disgrace, who's having a personal meltdown in front of the entire country. Now, Obama, by the way, I won't get to it today, but he goes for Trump's business acumen. Obama, who has no business acumen, no acumen whatsoever. It took an outsider. It took a very experienced businessman to recognize the problem and to propose common sense solutions. This upset the self-appointed guardians of conservative thought like you can't believe, and that's where they're going crazy. So yes, he is a populist, but he does fit the conservative label very well, because his actual policy positions, his sentiments, align almost exactly with what conservatism used to be in this country before this gang redefined it. Until the corporate country club character crowd took it over, perverted conservatism in quotes in a meeting, well, for our own agenda. You know, nation building and free trade and big government spending, crony capitalism, go along, get along with the left is what became conservatism. I do want to take a call here, but I will want to finish with one other very important thing you need to know about conservatism. I promised you I'd give you a definition of it, but I see Gary's been holding for a very long time from WJRW. Gary, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, sir?
Just fine, and how are you?
I'm good, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, I noticed in the papers lately the media is having a field day that Trump is not raising any money and Hillary's raising all kinds of millions for her campaign. And I think the confusion on the part of the people who are trusting and want to elect Trump like I do is we're not really sure who to donate to. I get things all the time on email, and frequently they have RNC involved with them, and I wouldn't give them a dime of my hard-earned money because, as you say, they don't know what conservatism is. And I want to be able to support Trump, and I think what he needs to do is let us know in some sort of a speech or some sort of media release who we could donate to that was going to support him.
You know, you heard me mention a few minutes ago that I talked to somebody who's quite a good friend of Trump's, and we agreed yesterday on the phone, not that it matters where the hill beans, we agree that all this publicity about Trump's lack of money, we think this is going to be something that all gets worked out. These are very, very smart people. And let's say that Hillary has $1 billion, and she may, to try and demolish Trump. It's like the creation of your own media empire that has only one goal, which is to get someone elected and destroy somebody else. Trump is a surprising character. And every time we fear something that he's done or is doing or isn't right, what happens at the end of the day? It seems to work itself out. And have you noticed, Gary, that I assume that you liked the speech yesterday, yes?
Yes, very much.
Well, can you imagine what the next polls are going to be like since that speech was given? What's your guess? Yeah, I mean, and also, does he have to raise money after that, or do you think money is just going to start pouring in?
I think it will. We just don't know who to donate to, because I don't want to give it to the RNC. They don't seem to be supportive of him, and I want him to get the support that he needs.
By the way, have you gone to any of the Trump websites, and is there any direction as to what to do in that regard?
I can't say that I have, no.
Yeah, I mean, that may be, you know, it may be a self-answering question a few clicks away. I haven't looked into it myself either.
I will try that.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Do you feel and do you think, despite all the labels or all the queasiness, whatever those things are, do you think this man loves America?
More than anybody on the other side, that's for certain, and most of them on our side.
And does he love the America that you know and that I know?
Yes, yes, and we need to bring it back again.
Well, can we say that perhaps, if there are pillars of conservatism, that the first one would be that you love this country?
Very much. This is my country. I was brought up in it. I had ancestors who died for it, and I just hate to see that torn down by people who don't love this country.
And right.
Give it away to people who don't love it either.
So I hear this guy saying, this guy Trump comes along, he says, no, no, no to any of this stuff. We're throwing out a bunch of stuff. We're going back to the way it was. We're going to make America great again. And when I hear this, I think it is a call to heritage, to custom. I feel this is really the essence of conservatism. And some of the petty policy issues, which we may agree or not agree with 100% of them, are more or less tangential to the love of country.
Absolutely. It's more to which culture. Michael's right on that, 100%.
And, you know, I think Michael was saying that before anybody else, and I'm looking at all my friends in England. If England doesn't warn us of the whole way of borders, language, and culture, do you know they have to take people who are refugees to become British citizens? They have no choice if they move there. Once they're in the European Union, they have to take them, which is a disaster.
Yep.
All right. Well, listen, Gary, thanks so much for calling the Savage Nation. Good to speak to you. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. The phone number, one more time here, is 1-855-400-7282. And I see Chuck in... Chuck is where are you? K-L-I-F. You have something you want to contribute to the show. How are you today, Chuck?
Yes, I sort of haven't heard anybody mention this. By the way, a great show today. I haven't heard anybody even come close to debating or examining what Donald Trump's quest for each of our votes as Americans, as we listen to him and his press conferences, his rallies and such. He probably, unlike Hillary, feels like he might have to earn our vote. So, in other words, show us what kind of a patriot he is. He's had to earn pretty much everything he's had to negotiate for, unlike Hillary, who just sort of just lets the left-wing media do, let's just say, 60 to 80% of her bidding, and how she feels like she's sort of owed her shot at being president. That's something that I see as a very stark difference between these two candidates.
Well, Chuck, on the Trump side, would you say that we are actually watching the living, breathing, floating art of the deal take place in front of our eyes?
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of amazing, almost beautiful to watch. You know, it's like a ballet of some sort. No, Hillary. Oh, listen, Hillary felt she was entitled. Do you think that the Bushes felt a little entitled?
Of course they did.
Did you hear the news, Chuck, that Brent Scowcroft has come out and endorsed Hillary Clinton today? I heard this earlier.
Well, she feels like she must have to fool us or coerce us somehow, because there's nothing genuine that you can detect about her.
Let me ask you one other question, Chuck, because you also like the speech from yesterday, I assume.
Oh, yes, big time.
Now, is that speech, if you just stop and think about it, you like that speech, but all the people who didn't like Trump are now liking that speech, right? And yet you, maybe, I know that I did, I believe Michael certainly did. When we watch those Republican debates, this speech actually comes as no surprise, because this guy, it knows how to throw a punch. And that's when we looked at the big man standing there in the center, sort of dominating those Republican debates, we all looked at that guy and said, hey, that's the guy we wanted to go against Obama instead of Romney. That's the guy we wanted to go against Obama instead of McCain. That's the guy who needs to go against Hillary.
Exactly. The past 15 things we just heard are what we've been waiting for our Congress.
Well, Chuck, listen, thank you so much for calling the Savage Nation. Good to talk to you. Please call again when Dr. Savage is here, when I'm here as well. Thanks so much, Chuck. It's Zucker Bansky. I got to scoot very quickly. I have some more very important things to share with you. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver.
To those of you who are still with us in the famous last moments of the famous third hour, the hardcore listeners, please, 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 we're depending upon you to go and vote Michael into the National Radio Hall of Fame. It's a personal thing for me, and I know to many of you it's a personal thing also. The establishment, not so much. So go there. Savage. Text Savage to 36500. I'm now going to squeeze something of great importance in to the remaining 2.5 minutes, if I can. Ronald Reagan's CPAC speech of 1977 is the blueprint for what it means to be a conservative. He was very clear. He said, if you want to build the strongest political coalition in history, you have to agree with, you have to get together with lots of people with whom you disagree on lots of things. He said, conservatism is not a rigid ideology. That belongs on the left. He said, we are the opposite of a rigid ideology. He said, we, to be a conservative means something very simple. It means we embrace what has worked in the past and we abandon what hasn't worked. He says, in short, conservatism means knowing when to come in from out of the rain. I cannot put it any more beautifully than that. That means you're going to embrace a lot of people with whom you disagree on a lot of things, but you agree on that main thing. And there's a lot of people who disguise themselves as conservatives who are social engineers as radically as the left is, but from another point of view. Now, in the U.S., the dichotomy between left and right is a myth, because both parties, and this is where Trump shatters it, both parties are funded by the same lobbies. They serve the same interests. Both parties are supported by big money. Both represent the same so-called legislative agenda. Both parties are committed to consumerism rather than production. They're committed to open borders. They're committed to globalization. The Democrats, by the way, have you noticed this? I know you have. It annoys you as much as it annoys me. They are always united in their single-minded and craven grasp for political power. We're just not so sure even now that the Republican Party knows what political power is, how to get it, what the primary purpose is. To them, political power means getting along with the left. Let's meet them halfway. Let's walk to the middle of the street and shake hands. And any time you do that, the left always wins. It's a slow march, and the left is very patient.